Okay, before we go to our passage, allow me to share to you a song. Don't worry, I will not sing, because definitely you don't want me to sing. Okay, we will hear a song and you will also see the lyrics. And here it goes. I think many of us face difficulties in life, and we are not stranger when we talk about disappointment, distress, or even sometimes we experience depression. When we encounter difficulties, what do? Let me tell you, we must trust God. We must depend on our divine deliverance. Let's open our Bibles in Psalm chapter 13. Psalm chapter 13, verses 1 to 6. Again, Psalm chapter 13, verses 1 to 6. Let me invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. The word of God says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, 'I have prevailed over him.' Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, once again. And Lord, as we open up this new sermon series, help us, Lord, to understand the poetic books or the wisdom literature books. And Lord, we will start this July with the book of Psalms. Help us, Lord God, to really feel the emotion, Lord God, of the psalmist. And at the same time, Lord, help us to always have that psalm of praise, the trust and confidence in you. No matter what is happening to us, help us to always, always trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, before we go to our passage, let me just give you of what we will see in the book of Psalms, because we will start with, our series actually is called Wisdom Literature, or we call it Poetic Books. Remember, the Old Testament, it was divided, we can divide it into three parts. First is the historical books, consists of 17 books. First with the first five books, the Pentateuch, and then the second 12 is what we call historical books. Overall, they are called historical books. And then the second five is what we call wisdom literature, or some call it as poetical books. Okay, that's namely the Book of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, and the Song of Songs. And then the last 17 books of the Old Testament, we call it the prophetical books, divided into two, the major prophets and the minor prophets. And we already discussed somehow the minor prophets, the 12 minor prophets. Now, the Book of Psalms. Okay? It is a song more than a prose, because in songs and poems we can feel the emotion. Okay? And today I want us to feel the emotion of the psalmist when he says, "How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me?" I want us to not only to see the text but also to feel the emotion. Now, since most of the psalms, it was composed by King David, so the timeline is somehow in 2 Samuel. The latter part of 1 Samuel and mostly the 2 Samuel. You will see the story of David there. Now, the whole book of Psalms, it's divided into five books. If you will notice, if you will just open your Bibles, look at Psalm 1. You will see at the top of Psalm 1, it says there, Book 1. And then at the top of Psalms, I think 43, it says there, Book 2. Okay, so it's divided into five books. Okay. Psalm 1 to 41, Book 1. Book 2 is Psalm 42 to 72. And then Psalm 73 to 89, that's Book 3. And then Psalm 90 to 106, that's Book 4. And then lastly, Psalm 107 to Psalm 150, that is what we call Book 5. Now we can divide this into two. The first three books, it's called the Psalms of Lament. Okay? Included in the Lament is what we call imprecatory Psalms and whatever, but all of it, it's summarized, it's called the book Psalms of Lament. And then the last two books, it's called the Psalms of Praise. Now, we can see that there's lament, there's the emotion, but at the end of the day, there's praise. We need to praise God because we can trust Him. Now, our passage, Psalm 13, it's in what we call the Book of Lament, or the Psalms of Lament. Now look at what a scholar says. This is the superscript. It says there, "To the choir master, a psalm of David." So that is included in Psalm. Actually, in the Hebrew Bible, that's the verse 1. Okay, in what we call as the superscript, it says there. We know who's the author of Psalm 13. That is King David. Look at his cry of desperation. 4 times he said, "Lord, how long?" Okay. He said, "How long?" This gives us emphasis of how he feels at that moment. We can see really his pain when he said, "Lord, how long will you hide your face from me?" Now, what is happening here? From the New Bible Commentary, it says that perhaps he is running away from King Saul or from his own son, Absalom. From King Saul, you can read the story in 1 Samuel. Now, from his son, Absalom, you can read that in 2 Samuel. And also, some commentators said, perhaps the enemy of David here is death. Okay, because he also mentioned the word death in verse 3. Now, unlike the heading of other Psalms, there is no clear indication about the background of Psalm 13. But most probably, I believe that he's talking about his son, his own son, Absalom. Now, try to imagine this. Absalom, his son, rebelled against his own father, and he wants him dead. I want you to imagine this for a moment. Your own son wants you dead. For the parents here, for the fathers, your own son wants you to be dead. So I can only imagine the pain of David. Okay lang sana kung yung kaaway niya, di ba, yung ibang tao eh. But this time around, his own son, Absalom. What is much worse is that it seems that for him, God abandoned him. When he said, "Lord, how long? How long, Lord, will you hide your face from me?" Can you imagine the pain? Si Lord na nga lang yung aasahan, nawawala pa. That is how he feels here. And look at that word. He says, "Sorrow in my heart." It is a picture of someone who has been tormented mentally. When he said in verse 2, the last part there, or in the verse 2, the first sentence there, "How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day?" That word, sorrow in my heart, it means someone who is being tormented mentally. And it results to stress and really emotional pain. So David, at this point in time, he is really in agony. He is in pain mentally and emotionally. Okay? And I want us to feel that so that we can appreciate this psalm. Now, to make it worse, he feels so alone because he said, "I take counsel in my soul." It gives us a picture that he is all alone at this moment. He can't see God and he doesn't have any friends beside him. That is why Faith Life Study Bible says, the psalmist feels alone and isolated. He feels Yahweh has abandoned him and he has no friends. Try to imagine that. No friends to counsel him. Now, GCF Nuvali, do you know the feeling of being abandoned? Maybe there is an episode in your life where you have been abandoned by your friends, by your loved ones, workmates, or even your classmates. Perhaps you have been in a situation when you really feel that torment in your mind, that you can't even sleep. All you can do is just cry all night. Because there's no one with you. So try to imagine the pain. What makes it much worse is that the one whom you can trust the most, it seems he is nowhere to be found, God himself. It seems that there's no one there to be with you. You feel so alone. In today's language, we can easily summarize what's happening with David here, and perhaps some of you can identify with him right now, because today we call it depression. That's how we can summarize all of these things. When we encounter pain in life, it leads to depression. And in my subject, counseling, right now I'm taking Christian counseling, I learned that the signs of this depression are this: feeling of helplessness, hopeless. If you have that feeling, that's depression. Loss of interest in daily activities, appetite or weight changes, anger, you are easily irritable, loss of energy, self-loathing, reckless behavior, difficulty concentrating on things, and even physical distress. And did you know that depression can be occasional or situational, or it could be a major one? That's what we call clinical depression. So do you see any symptoms, okay, in you with this? Especially the feeling of helplessness, hopelessness. Do you experience any of these signs of being depressed? Just like David, he somehow felt being hopeless, helpless in his situation, because everyone, that's his feeling, even God abandoned him. Now let me tell you, there were also episodes in my life that I felt it too. Even in the ministry, when I'm already in the ministry, I felt that God abandoned me. And I felt that I'm just waiting for Him in vain. And this is really true. Let me tell you, pain is real. Huwag po nating isipin, okay, na gawa-gawa lang yung mga nagsasabi na they are depressed. Pain is real. When you are in pain, when you feel abandoned, when you feel hopeless, when you feel helpless, what is the first thing that we must do? The principle that we can get in this psalm is, first, you need to talk to God. You need to talk to God. David clearly expressed what he feels when he said, "Lord, how long? How long, Lord, will you hide your face from me?" As a believer, this is the first thing that we must do. We must talk to God. Look at verses 3 and 4. David called for a deliberation. From his pain, he makes a petition to the Lord. He said, "Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, 'I have prevailed over him.' Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." That word "consider," okay, it means to pay attention. So David is asking God, "Lord, look at me. Pay attention. Gaze upon me. Look at what is happening right now. Really check my situation, Lord. Please do check my situation right now." So David was asking the Lord, "Lord, gaze upon me. Don't just look upon me, but gaze upon me. What is happening in me?" Remember David's lament? "How long, Lord, will you hide your face from me?" So now he is asking, "Lord, would you please gaze upon me? Look upon me." He is asking for an answer to his questions, "How long?" Because he asked the Lord 4 times, and this time around, "Lord, please do answer me." He was asking for a deliberation. He wants to talk to God. He wants to be enlightened. Because look at what he said: "Light up my eyes, O Lord. Light up my eyes." The key word is light. It means to illumine our eyes, to give light to our eyes, to see what is really happening in us. In David's perspective, he wants to see God's perspective, not only in his perspective. That's why he is asking the Lord, "Lord, would you please light up my eyes? Light up my eyes, lest my enemy prevailed over me." And the interesting part here is that the word "light" throughout the book of the Bible, it also means life. So that is in contrast with the word "death" here. So instead of death, what David wants is life from the Lord. So it is very important for us, church, to see things not in our perspective, but in God's perspective. To give you the power of perspective, Okay? Let me show you a picture. What do you see? Three or four? How many of you says it's three? Meron, di ba? How many of you says it's four? How many of you says wala, di ba? Wala nakikita. It's perspective. It's the same picture, but we have different perspective, right? Second, how many of you, what do you see? Rabbit? Others, what do you see? Duck. How many of you see a duck? Okay, meron. How many of you see a rabbit? So see, it's the same picture, but you have different perspective. Okay? What about this? They say half full or half empty. It depends on perspective. The same picture, but it may look different the way you see things. So this is very important for us, church. When we are in pain, okay, we need a bird's eye view of things. We need to ask God that He lift us up so that we can see things in His perspective. Not in our perspective, but rather we need God to lift us up so that we can see the bird's eye view. We can see what's really happening to us. And let me tell you, definitely God wants us to be lifted high so that we can see things in His perspective. Because here is His promise. Okay? Especially when you are in pain right now, look at His promise. We know that for those who love God, all things. Did you see that? He didn't say, the Bible did not say some things, but the Bible says all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? That is in verse 29. It says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is His purpose. Sometimes He is allowing us to go through pain because His purpose is for us to be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're talking about character, Christ-likeness. God can use our situation to mold us to become the person He wants us to be. When Joseph, we can see that in the book of Genesis, when Joseph finally understood what is happening to him, remember his own brothers sold him to become slave in Egypt. And he was even put in prison. So definitely, I can only imagine that one night he felt this depression. That he felt that he's helpless, hopeless in his situation. But when he finally understood things, look at what he said in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, to his own brothers. As for you, you meant evil against me. Now he understood things when he said, but God meant it for good. All of those things that happened to him, he said, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. That's the perspective. The Word of God says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. It means character. So David asked God to light up his eyes. In other words, as we talk to God, we need to ask Him, Lord, help me to understand things in Your perspective. So what do we need to do? We need to, when we are in pain, we need to talk to God, and we need to ask Him, Lord, help us to understand things in Your perspective. Now, after David's cry of desperation, where we can see his pain, he moved to a call for deliberation with God. He makes a petition for God to gaze upon him, to really look at him, at his situation. And he even asked the Lord to light up his eyes, to understand things from God's perspective. Now look at the confidence of King David. He simply trusts the Lord. He simply trusts God. Okay? Look at verses 5 and 6. Look at the confidence of King David on divine deliverance. But I have trusted. Yes, he felt those things. He felt depressed. He felt the pain when he asked the Lord, Lord, how long? How long? How long? How long? But look at the end of his psalm. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That word but is very important there. After David prayed, look at what happened to him. After he prayed, after he see things from God's perspective, look at his confidence. He did not put his confidence because of who he is, that he is king over Israel. He did not put his confidence to his warriors, but his confidence is in the Lord. Look at what he said, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. That is the key words here. Trust in God. Trusted in his steadfast love. Allow me to just share this to you in connection to trusting God. Actually, I also posted this in my FB wall. Last Thursday, as I was praying and meditating on these things, somehow, and even our building project, somehow fear starts to creep in me. Can we really do this, Lord? Can I really lead your people to build this building project? By the way, the cost is around 40 million. Can we really do this? So there is fear in me. And then I just shared this to my mentor, and then this is actually what he texted me. He said, have faith, kapatid. That's my message last Sunday based on the book of Mark, Mark chapter 9, verse 23. He said, all things are possible to the one who believes. All things are possible to the one who believes. So somehow it gives me the right perspective. It is not the question about can we do it, but the question is, can God do it? What do you think is the answer? Can God do it? Yes, he can. Definitely, God can. And then, all of a sudden, it just dawned on me, it's his project. It's not my project. It's not the project of the leaders. It's God's project. Just as how he provided in the past for GCF Nuvali, I'm sure he can. What do we need to do? We just need to trust him. Trust and obey. For there is no other way. We just simply need to trust and obey God. Going back to our passage, David now had the right perspective. Therefore, he affirms his confidence to God when he said again, I have trusted in your steadfast love. And what is its significance? It says, my heart rejoices in your salvation. Remember, at this point in time, nothing changes. That is still his situation. But look at his trust in God. His heart is now rejoicing because he knows that God will see him through. He knows that God will deliver him from his enemy. The word steadfast love there, I have trusted in your steadfast love, that is the Hebrew word hesed. And that is a beautiful Hebrew word. The word hesed, it means loyalty. It means faithfulness, kindness, grace. It encompasses all the character of God. So I want you to remember that Hebrew word, hesed. That is his steadfast love. It encompasses, that also means grace, mercy, everything, all of God's character. I have entrusted his steadfast love. So when David realized who God is, he simply trusts him. So when we know, when we realize who God is, remember the promise of God that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Church, sometimes, yes, we feel that way, that it seems that God abandoned us, but let me tell you, the promise of the Word of God, he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he definitely, God will never, ever, ever abandon us. Trust him. Just put your trust in Him. Rest in His steadfast love. So when you are in pain, what do we need to do? Talk to God. Rest in His love. Understand things in His perspective. Trust His deliverance. It is very important, church, that we know the character of God. So remember that Hebrew word, hesed. That is who He is. He is faithful. He is loyal to us. The Bible says if we remain faithless, or sometimes we are faithless, God remains faithful. It will not change. God is always, always faithful. Knowing that His steadfast love will never fails us, therefore, let us put our trust in Him. Rest in His love. Trust God's deliverance. David said, "My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Take note, rejoice not in your situation, but you will rejoice in God's salvation. Focus on God's salvation. So it means you must turn your eyes upon the Lord. Not in your situation, but on God. Turn your eyes on God. Don't look at your problems. Don't look to anyone else. Look upon the Lord. Look upon God. And you can rejoice in His salvation. Remember the last time that I shared to you about a pastor who was hospitalized? The last time that I shared this to you, that he has a pancreas cancer. He is now at stage 4. And when we checked up on him, listen to what he said. Mga kapatid sa pananampalataya, Pastor Rolly po ito. Magandang araw po sa inyo. Pancreas cancer po ang result ng final diagnosis. Stage 4. Kahapon po, that's July 4. May kausap na kami ni Evelyn, that's his wife, na oncologist para sa chemotherapy. Kaya lang hindi na daw po ako pwedeng isa lang dahil hindi ko kakayanin. Kahit sa kalagayan ng aking pisikal na kalusugan. Mahina daw ang aking katawan. From 60 kilos, bumagsak na po ako ng 50 kilos. Kaya hindi physically fit. Pag daw po sa pancreas, listen to this, he said, 6 months pababa na lang po ang itatagal ng buhay. But I'm just waiting for God's final answer. I just trust in Him. Wala pa naman pong sagot si Lord kung hanggang kailan na lang ako. Trust Him. Even in a difficult situation, put your trust in Him. To think that He can even give us update on what is happening to Him. Just to compose that message, ang hirap nun, church. Knowing that you only have 6 months or lower to live, He was able to compose that message. It's like writing on His deathbed. So as I am reflecting on that, I'm just asking, Lord, how come can He still write these things? Minsan nga, di ba, Lord, naiingit pa nga ako sa Kanya eh. Grabe yung trust niya sa'yo. Ako nga, it's a building project. It's not even my own life. I can't even trust you. But here's the one, He's trusting you with His own life. He is writing on His deathbed. This is the person who trust God no matter what. He is still trying to understand things in God's perspective. So instead of saying, "Why me, Lord? I'm a pastor. I am working for you. Why me?" He is just waiting for God to deliver him from his pain. Whether through divine miracle or even the Lord takes him home, that's a deliverance from his pain here on earth. So brothers and sisters in Christ, trust God. Trust Him. Depend on divine deliverance. So how are we going to trust God? What are we going to do? First, talk to God. Rest in God's love. Understand things in God's perspective. Turn your eyes upon the Lord and sing praises to God. Look at what David said. "I will sing to the Lord." Because he, what the reason why he will sing to the Lord? Because he has dealt bountifully with me. Church, it is easy for us to give praise when life runs smoothly. But the Bible is still calling us, even when we are down, to sing praises to Him. Remember that God already showed to us, He has dealt with us bountifully. He has already showed to us His love, His grace, His mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says when God is crying out for justice, He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. So He has dealt with us bountifully. He has given us His own Son. He already demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Last Thursday, my wife and I had a small talk about life, the reality of life. We concluded that there were people in our life, they will come and go. There were people who come and go. And I told her that's the reality of life. And I even shared to her that the same is true when it comes to church. This is the reality. Nabanggit ko nga rin po ito sa Heartline. Sabi nga po ni Pastor Eric, Pastor, hugot yata yan. Hindi yan hugot. Okay? I am just stating a fact, a reality, that even in church, people will come and go. We can't hold on to people. They will say, oh, Pastor, we will grow to another church. So God bless you. And it's not as if that, sabi nga ng asawa ko, para naman wala kang pakialam. No, I love all of you. But that's the reality. People sometimes, even in church, they will come and go. But one thing remains. I know who is the one who is constant in our lives. And that is God. He will never, ever, ever leave us nor forsake us. So don't count on people, because definitely the people around you, they will come and go. But count on God, because He will never, ever leave you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Because He has dealt bountifully with us. Remember, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He already loved us even before we love Him. We love because He first loved us. So continue to trust Him. How are we going to trust Him? What are we going to do when we are in pain? Talk to God. That's the first thing that you need to do. Talk to Him. Rest in God's love. Understand things. That is what you need to ask from the Lord. Lord, help me to understand things from your perspective. Sing praises to Him. Continue to praise Him, because nothing remains, church. He is still seated on His throne. Whatever is happening in the good times and bad times, He sits on His throne. So we need to praise Him. We need to sing praises to Him and turn your eyes upon the Lord. Today is a communion Sunday, so it is good for us to meditate on the love of God. The love of God that we can see in Jesus Christ. He is the embodiment of God's love, mercy, and grace. So let us remember the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me just give you a warning about the elements. These are only for those who already profess their faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you already profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you may partake of the elements.
my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Despised by